On our scripture readings this morning, first from the Hebrew Testament, and if you follow in the Bible, you will see that there is sometimes a topic to a paragraph, and in this case, it is an invitation to abundant life, invitation to an abundant life, Isaiah 55, the first five verses. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And our New Testament reading from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. And we know that Paul was instrumental in beginning that Christian, that early Christian congregation in Ephesus. And we believe that at that time, while he was away, that he was still in contact, in correspondence with his old congregation. And some people who look deeper into scriptures have the idea that Paul at that time was very concerned about the young congregation far away from him. And he received word that things weren't going so well, and I believe there was a fair amount of gossip within that. Paul, do you know what so-and-so is doing since you left? He's given to drinking again, you know. And that type of gossip was happening, and people were reporting things that were happening. So what followed was a letter from the apostle. And then he wrote to the people in Ephesus and to Christians of all ages, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends our scripture reading. May the readings of this morning be of spiritual value for each and every one of us. Dear friends, some time ago, a very famous scientist, but he was also a professor, and many professors are a little bit absent-minded, as you know. So this famous scientist was on board of a train, and when the conductor came around, he was unable to find his ticket. And so the conductor thought he recognized the man, and he said, well, take it easy, I'll go up the train, and my way back, maybe you will have your ticket by then. No problem then. So a bit later, the conductor returned, But the professor still could not find the ticket. So the doctor who had, in the meantime, recognized this famous scientist said, "Oh, sir, I am very sure that you actually bought the ticket. So I'll tell you what, just forget about the ticket and let's move on." "Oh, yes, you are very kind," the absent-minded professor said. "But, you know, anyhow, I must find it. Otherwise, I won't know where to get off this train." Some of us is getting a little bit up in the years and will tell you that we sometimes have to make notes about certain things. And the same happened to a former prime minister of Greece. And he had a pilot's license and he liked to show off a little bit. And he also loved to fly. So this really happened just before the Second World War. He insisted on trying out a new type of airplane. Everybody was excited about it. So he wanted to try this plane out. So he did quite well until a little bit later, when they were ready to land again, a general on board noticed that they were about to make a landing at an airport. "Excuse me, sir, but it would be better to land on water. You see, this is a hydroplane." So embarrassed, he quickly turned the plane around and he made a perfect landing on the water. But then he opened the door and promptly stepped out into the sea. And I think they say it happened to the delight of his enemies. And we will say, yes, well, he's like some of us. He simply forgot, or as the proverb says, he did not look before he leaped. And in the process, he made a fool of himself by falling into the water. And that may have reminded some of us of similar stories, not so? I think there are many good tales that can be told in this church about our own absent-mindedness, but we don't like to talk about that much. We can tell you about what happened to other people who do not look before they take the jump. In older times, there was a saying, "Look before you leap, for as you sow, you are like to reap." So in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul put it this way. He wrote to them, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil." So this time it's like the old pastor that used to be there writing a sort of a love letter, a care letter, a pastoral letter to his people. And he's not really concerned because he know them. There were really no serious crimes in their midst. So he wrote to them about the daily little decisions that all of us have to make from time to time. And he was telling them, "Be careful. Be careful how you live." But then I think, and that's where I came on the idea that maybe somebody has gossiped. He said, "So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." In other words, Paul got his word in. He was telling his people, though far away, use your head. Do not do anything dumb. Above all, do not foul up your life. Many of us are parents, and how often have we prayed for our children, spoken to them, watched them when they became teenagers and moved through the difficult years, and deep in our hearts we had the one hope, the one prayer. Oh, please, please look before you leap. Be wise. Don't do anything that can ruin your later life. And sadly, so many young people just wanting to enjoy life step into problems, begin innocently, and before you know it, the news is bad. Our own community is currently thinking about one of our young people that passed away a few days ago. And we wonder about so many others. We want to say to them, do not be foolish. Be careful. Think what you do. And that was what Paul was telling his people. I believe that things are getting slightly better. I may be wrong. I may just be an optimist. But I do know that a few years ago, many of us despaired about the drug problem in our country. And if I look at the statistics, I'm optimistic enough to believe maybe we're beginning to move in a better direction. It is as if the media is getting the message through, and more young people seem to look before they leap and stay away from things that they can get addicted to. Amazing that even Budweiser is now telling us in its advertisements, know when to say when. Oh, do we know? Do we really know when to say when? Because some do not get smart until it is too late. Do not be foolish, Paul says. Be careful how you walk. Use your head. Look before you leap. But then Paul reminds God's people that there's also another side to it. He tells them and he reminds them that they have a safe, they have a positive and an uplifting alternative. He writes to them, tell you what, be filled with the Spirit. And he meant God's Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. That was so nice in our first service this morning. Coleman brought back a few of the songs that they taught the kids up north. And we sang it in the first service. And it was fresh and new and beautiful. And I could see that our people enjoyed singing them. Oh yes, singing to God's honor and glory. What a privilege that we can do that, that it has been done in this church for more than 60 years. Thank God that we so often can burst out in song and that we can get carried away by the beauty of the melody and the song, be it our choir, be it a solo, be it all of us singing together. And that, says Paul, that is part of the essence of being God's people, of being a congregation of God's people. You can sing in the Spirit. You can do your psalms and your hymns and spiritual songs. And thank God that we believe that and we try to do that. And in many ways, some of us have come to love and appreciate the many things that's happening in our church. And this is a great church, and we have reason to thank God for that. It's my privilege Sunday after Sunday, whenever we can possibly make it, to attend one of our friendship circles in the evenings. Friends, if you do not belong to one, it's time to consider. I cannot tell you the joy that you feel when people get to know one another. They do not only see each other in church together, but it becomes something more intimate, something more personal. They break bread together, and before you know it, they begin to seek each other's company. And if they don't see one of their group in church, then I hear that phone calls are being made. Are you okay? Anything you need? Anything we can do for you? So the advice of the Apostle Paul is still good for us. And sometimes we just invite our people and say, come on, let's just get together. Let's have a potluck. And mornings between the services, how precious the opportunity when God's people spread their wings amongst one another and say, we belong, we are family, we are God's family, but we are also brothers and sisters and friends of one another. We see the same thing happen on Thursday evenings with our Christian enrichment sessions. People come and say, oh, well, I don't even like these study things, and why go deeper in the truths of the Bible Thursday evening? And we've seen that in the past few years. Then they begin to come, oh, well, I'll go once, I'll go twice. Sounds like a good topic. Friends, and miracles have happened. Miracles have happened because people have suddenly realized the depth and the beauty of our knowledge about God, that we never know enough and that we never understand enough about the Bible and our own faith, and that there is such a wealth, such a richness to be had when people get a forum where they're not just listeners, where it's not just a monologue, but where they can voice their questions. When they can even say, I disagree, or, oh, I never knew that. And in the process, what Paul is writing about is happening amongst our people. They are growing in faith and knowledge of their God. And when that happens, when people begin to feel part of a family, that's when they are missed, when you don't see them on a Sunday. And I hear that often, that people say, did you notice that so-and-so haven't been in church for 2 weeks? And I'll give them a call. I'll do that. And we have people in our church thinking about that, to say, it's more than just worship. Much more that we're doing. We're not just building a place where people come to listen. It goes much deeper, much further. And this morning you heard something about the plans and the hopes and the dreams. And in God's name, we can do it. We can grow and we can fill our place with God's people. And then we can go out, and that is our motive. We can go out into our community and we can bring the message of God's love. We can do it with our own love, with our own care. And we can develop and find ways to reach out in the name of our Savior and to truly engage people. And I can assure you, it is going to happen. I've seen the fire in the eyes of my people. I've seen it. And when it happens, you will say, are you sure you're getting enough extra seats? Because there's very few people looking for a church. Most of them have found, but there are many who are saying, I want to be in touch with my Savior. I want to hear a message that touches my heart. I want to sing and I want to pray and I want to be part of it. Worshipping, learning, singing with one accord. And you know what? When people have discovered such a community, life cannot beat them down anymore. Life cannot beat them down when they live like that, because they find that they are surrounded by the strong arms and the love and the care and the prayers of the people around them. They are family. They are God's family. And when that happens, despair cannot take over in people's lives. And yes, I can witness to that. Even when life is nearly over, even when the sun is beginning to set, I've seen people rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. If it is my time to go, I shall go from the company of my people safely into the arms of God. Is that not the joy? Is that not the joy of being a Christian? Of belonging to a family? The Bible says, look before you leap. Use your head, open your heart. Give thanks, give praise. Life is worth living after all. Together we shall overcome. Because, why? Because we're preparing and we are now prepared. We have sung what a friend we have in Jesus. The one we remember when we break the bread and when we drink the wine in memory of, with thanksgiving, as a token, as a sign that we belong, that we share, that we participate. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and all our griefs to bear. Amen.